Welcome back to Straight Heat on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's your host, Patrick Creighton.
All right, joining us right now on the BetUSA.com Inside Line, he is the Deputy Managing Editor of SB Nation's MMAFighting.com. He's Mark Raimondi. What's going on, Mark?
What's up, Patrick? How are you?
Glad you're able to take a little bit of time for us today, buddy. We are closing in on UFC 230. Is this going to be, you know, this card kind of went from, it's going to be great, oh, it's going to be terrible, oh, it's going to be great. Is it back to, it's kind of going to be terrible? Is this like a two-fight card?
Well, I'm just glad that there are going to be some headliners on this card, because for a long, long time, we were waiting for a UFC 230 main event, and it didn't really come together until only about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, where it's going to be Daniel Cormier, of course, defending his heavyweight title against Derek Lewis, which, if you remember, before Derek Lewis knocked out Alexander Volkov on October 6th at UFC 229, there was no UFC 230 main event. So luckily, we at least have a main event for this card. The co-main event has changed. Man, it's got to have changed about a dozen times, it seems like, at this point. It's now going to be Chris Weidman against Ronaldo Jacare Souza. It was originally, of course, supposed to be Nate Diaz versus Dustin Poirier. Poirier got hurt, couldn't make the fight. Diaz decided not to fight, not to take a late notice opponent. Then it was going to be Weidman against Luke Rockhold. Luke Rockhold got injured, and now it's going to finally be Chris Weidman versus Jacare. But overall, though, it is a pretty deep, solid card. It's just not the card that I think the UFC was hoping to have at Madison Square Garden on November 3rd.
You know, Mark, usually when you see, you know, guys in a very physical fight, it's a few months before they fight again. Derek Lewis was in a very physical fight, and he's fighting, 28 days after being in that fight. It seems to me that it's highly unusual for a guy to have that physical a fight, turn around and be asked to fight again 28 days later. Now, it is for the title, but still, do you sense like this just it doesn't seem right for UFC to throw Derek Lewis into a title fight on that short of a turnaround?
It is unusual. I wouldn't say it's completely unheard of, but sure, it is unorthodox. Derek Lewis originally was given a 30-day medical suspension by the Nevada Athletic Commission because he had a very tough fight, like you said, against Volkov on October 6th. So he was gonna only be able to get off suspension on November 6th, but he was able to get cleared by doctors to have him get off that suspension a week early, so he can fight at MSG on November 3rd. But yeah, it is strange, and you know it's a tough spot for Derek Lewis because is he 100% healthy? No, he's probably not going to be 100% healthy. But how many times do you get a chance to headline Madison Square Garden against Daniel Cormier in this spot for the heavyweight title? Financially, I mean, I was at a media day last week with Derek Lewis in Las Vegas, and he said that he's set to make, in this fight, more than his other three fights this year combined. So he could be looking at close to seven figures for this fight. So how do you turn that down? You can't. And by that same token, Patrick, Daniel Cormier said he's not 100%. He's coming off a hand injury that he sustained against Stipe Miocic back in July. It's not fully healed yet. He's still going to fight Derek Lewis, but because the UFC needs a main event, because there's all that money on the table, they have to take it.
You know, and you know, knowing Derek Lewis's backstory, this is a guy who's driving a truck for a living. You know, his idea of being able to provide for his family and whatnot, there's no way, knowing what, you know, we know about Derek Lewis and the kind of man he is, there's no way he's turning down $1 million. I mean, he could be out there on one leg, he's taking that fight.
Well, I mean, Derek Lewis would probably fight on one leg for you know, $10 and a Whopper.
20 you know, chicken McNuggets.
That's right. That's just the kind of guy Derek Lewis is. That guy would fight anybody at any time. That's just his personality. And, yeah, you're talking about, like, the ultimate blue-collar guy from Houston, Texas. He's a guy that helped, hurricane victims during the hurricane down there in Houston a couple years ago. He was literally pulling people out of, like, floods. He is the ultimate blue-collar guy, ultimate durable, tough SOB, not to use any bad language. But
oh, I use worse all the time. Don't worry about it.
and he has made no bones about it. I mean, he said he does this for the money. He is a prize fighter. He is there to feed his family. That is what he's there to do. He doesn't care about titles. He doesn't care about Madison Square Garden. But if you give him a big enough paycheck, he's liable to fight anybody at any time, any place you ask him to.
Mark Raimondi, MMAfighting.com, with us on the BetDSI.com inside line. Mark, there is something really strange going on in MMA right now, and that is this idea that UFC and one championship can trade fighters? How does this work? How is this even feasible?
Yeah, that's a very good question. This is the first I've ever heard of it. Of course, you're talking about the report that came out today from MMA Junkie Radio and ESPN's Ariel Helwani, report that the UFC is close to trading former flyweight champion, one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world, Demetrius Johnson, to one championship in Asia for the rights to Ben Askren, the former Bellator champion, who people still feel is one of the best welterweights in the world. I've been doing this for a little bit. I've never heard of a trade of a fighter between two promotions before, but apparently it's something that they could do. Apparently there is language in UFC contracts that allow them to do just that. And you know what? I think that as long as both and all parties, I guess, the promotions and the fighters agree to it, what's the harm? If Demetrius Johnson wants to go to one championship in Asia, more power to him. If Ben Askren wants to come to the UFC, he's been trying to get there for a long time. Why not? So it's unorthodox. It's unique. But if all parties are happy, why the heck not?
Why is the relationship between Demetrius Johnson, who defend his title 11 times in a row? I mean, that's a UFC record. Why is the relationship between he and UFC to the point where he's asking out?
Well, I mean, I don't know how much of it's him asking out or them trying to get rid of him. Maybe it's a combination of both. Maybe they just don't see eye to eye. I think that an issue the UFC has had with Demetrius Johnson for a long time is that they don't feel like he moves the needle enough. They don't feel like he makes them enough money. He's not a big earner. He's not a big money draw like a Conor McGregor or a Ronda Rousey or even a Jon Jones. He's just not that guy. He's been obscenely successful. I mean, he has been literally, resume alone, wins and losses alone, title defenses alone, he is the most successful fighter in the history of the UFC in terms of just sheer title defenses and just that resume. But this is not just about sport. MMA has never just been about sport. The UFC has never just been about sport. It's always about how much money can you bring in, how much money can you earn, and that's been, I guess, a hang-up for the UFC with Demetrius Johnson. He's not a guy that you can headline a pay-per-view with. You're not going to make a ton of money with him in that headlining role. And I think that by the same token, Demetrius Johnson is a martial artist, and he doesn't feel like he has to try to go sell a fight with his mouth and try to trash talk and try to, you know, market himself in that way to sell pay-per-views. He feels like he's a martial artist, and that winning and the competition is enough. So in some ways, I mean, they have not seen eye to eye for some time. And I guess now that Demetrius Johnson is no longer the champion at flyweight, there is an opening to make some changes.
You know, Mark, you talked about marketability and draws. Nate Diaz is a draw. Now, he's a pain in the ass, but Conor's a pain in the ass, Habib's a pain in the ass, Jon Jones is a pain in the ass. They're all pains in the ass. Why is the way Dana treats Nate Diaz different from the way he treats the other guys? He'll bend over backwards for the other guys. And for Nate, it's like, yeah, you know what? His fight's off. I don't want to deal with him.
My theory on this is, A, I don't think the UFC thinks that Nate Diaz is as big of a draw as someone like a Conor McGregor or a Jon Jones or maybe even a Habib Nurmagomedov now. I don't think they feel like he is. I think they feel like he is like what you would call a B-side, like a really good B-side to like a Conor McGregor who's an A-side, and you put them both together, you get an enormous fight. I think that's their feeling, although it's hard to say if that's true or not because he's never really been given that opportunity since those two McGregor fights to headline his own show to see how he would do. The other side of that, too, I believe, is that I don't think they like to negotiate with Nate Diaz. I think that they're afraid of him because he does not give two Fs. I'm trying not to curse, but he is not
flying rat's
that
tails
kind of guy. He's not a businessman. You know what I mean? He does not care he's a guy from Stockton, California. He grew up on the mean streets, you know, of Northern California.
Of Greenwich.
And he plays hardball like no one else on the negotiating table. So I feel like they are afraid to give him any leverage in negotiations. So that's why they pull the plug before even coming to the table with Nate Diaz, because the guy really plays mean hardball, and they don't even want to give him the chance to screw up a main event, or, you know, maybe he doesn't show up. I mean, who knows? I don't think he would never not show up to anything, but certainly he is going to scratch and claw for every single dollar. If they were going to make him the main event of UFC 230, he was going to want much more money. I'm certain of that. So he's just a tough guy. He's tough. And you know what? If more fighters were like that, the fighters would make a lot more money.
Just one time I want to see Nate Diaz do a press conference wearing a sweater vest, coming out with the guys from the Mean Street Posse. You know, all hair.
You'll never see that man in a sweater vest. I think he has one shirt. It's a black T-shirt. That's it.
That would be the most hilarious thing ever. Like, we're here from the mean streets of Greenwich. Mark Raimondi, MMAfighting.com, with us on the BetDSI.com inside line. You had mentioned about how, you know, Luke Rockhold's out at 230. He is going to be replaced by Jacare Souza. There was, you know, like, what is Habib's next fight, right, once he finally gets cleared from Nevada and they let him fight again? You know, would it be a fight against GSP? What did you make of this, that UFC would want GSP to fight an actual contender before fighting Habib, whereas John Jones doesn't have to fight an actual contender to get a title shot. Brock Lesnar doesn't have to fight an actual contender to get a title spot, but GSP does.
No, I mean, he doesn't have to. It's a negotiating ploy. That's really all that is. Of course, if they come to an agreement for GSP to fight for a title in a main event, of course they'll do that. GSP is not going to come back and not fight in a main event slot for some kind of a championship or again, some kind of a legend, someone that's going to make them all a lot of money. That's not going to happen. GSP is not going to come back to just be another guy in the division, just another contender. There's no chance of that happening. But the UFC is going to negotiate and say that he has to do that to try to drive his price down so that he'll say, okay, I'll take less money to fight for this title. I mean, that is certainly a possibility. And I know Habib Nurmagomedov wants to fight GSP. It's actually something that he said for a long time, because GSP is kind of the guy that he's always looked up to as the pure sportsman of the UFC, and as one of the I think Habib feels like GSP is the greatest of all time, and if he's able to beat GSP, that puts him up in that hierarchy. And Habib's father is a huge fan of GSP, and Habib's father is very, very important to Habib. I mean, that's the most important person in his life. And I believe Habib's father told him at one point, if you beat GSP, then you've made it. So that's a very real possibility of that happening if things go together financially, of course. It all depends on that. There's also the possibility of Habib fighting Tony Ferguson. I wouldn't rule out a rematch against Conor McGregor either, because I think that fight still does the most money out of any fight that they could possibly do. So there are definitely options on the table for Habib. It just is going to be, you know, what makes the most sense timing-wise and money-wise.
He's Mark Raimondi, MMAfighting.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Mark_Raimondi. Mark, always appreciate your time. Love talking MMA with you. Always learn more stuff whenever we talk. We got to get you back on soon, brother.
Anytime. Let me know.
All right. Mark Raimondi, SB Nation's MMAfighting.com, with us on the BetDSI.com inside line. Our guest lines are sponsored by BetDSI.com. Use promo code NATION25. Get a $25 free wager today. Get all the plays on the inside line at BetDSI.com.